Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And if we can read from verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto the butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And we want to take as our text this morning the words that we have in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Last Lord's Day morning we considered something of Joseph in the prison. We saw something of his godliness. We saw something of his attractiveness, yet without vanity. We saw something of his ability to interpret dreams. We saw something of the gift that God had given to him. And at the end of it, we considered how his cheerfulness, yet his solemnity. He brought before the butler and the baker the claims of God. Now today we want to continue on our consideration of Joseph, and we want to think of the dreams that these two men had, their dreams. Secondly, the interpretation of the dreams. And thirdly, a forgotten dream. The dreams, the interpretation of the dream, and a forgotten dream. But before we consider these three aspects or three points that we have today, I want to look just at two very simple points to put this whole thing into its context, by looking at an introduction, two simple points. First of all, we see the difference between joy and freedom and fear and bondage. First of all, you have joy and freedom. I read just this week of a man who remembered Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a man who was imprisoned in Russia for the sake of conscience. And while he was there, he noted something that many noted even during the World Wars. He noticed in the Russian prison camps that the only people who were truly free were the believers, were the Christians. The only people who showed any joy or sense of freedom, even in the midst of prison, were those who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see something of that even with the Apostle Paul, when he's brought before King Agrippa. Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, O King Agrippa." Here was a man who was a prisoner, standing before King Agrippa, the person that you would say that would be the most miserable. And yet he says, "I think myself most happy." Joseph is in prison. and he sees two men that he's responsible for in the prison, and he sees they are sad, and he inquires, "Why are you sad?" You see, the believer, even in the midst of a prison, can be a man who is joy and has true freedom, has liberty indeed. That's what the gospel does. It brings true freedom. That even a man like Joseph in prison, he can act like someone who is free. But the contrary to that joy and freedom is fear and bondage. We see here the very power of God. Two men that are in prison, the butler and the baker. I don't know very much about these two men. They did something to offend Pharaoh, and they were cast into prison. Perhaps they had tried to murder him. We don't know. We're not told what it was that they did. But here are two prisoners, and you would think that they would be quite hard men. You would think that they would be strong men. But yet a simple dream brings them into fear and to bondage. They're full of sadness. Do you know that even the hardest criminals, even men that are the hardened criminals in prison, can be brought down low by the power of the gospel? God brings these two men to be fearful and to be in a greater bondage than ever the prison walls represented to them. These men were in prison, but it was the simple dream used by God that brought them to their knees. I'm sure some of you will remember reading of accounts of similar men, hard men, men that you would think would never touch, that could never be touched by the gospel. And yet a word of the gospel brings them low. I remember hearing, and I'm sure some of you will remember, the account of Willie Mullen, a hard man. But he said the only thing that he was ever fearful of was the gospel. The only thing that ever frightened him was one man in the village who had the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on his lips. And this hard man that was used to a knife and a blade, he was frightened of him. Here were two men in this prison, and a simple dream brings them to a fear and to a bondage. What power God has that will break and bring even the hardened man to have fear. Let us then look for a short moment with that short introduction of setting the dreams in their context. The joy and the freedom of Joseph, the man of God, and the fear and the bondage of these two men, the baker and the butler. And the first thing we want to look at, as we have said, is the dreams. Their dreams. Their dreams. How applicable these two dreams came home to the hearts of these men. They were dreams that cut into the very subconscious aspect of these men. It affected their whole life and their whole bearing. Here was a message from God given to them, and it was such that it affected their whole being. That even Joseph, when he came out, he said he noticed how sad they were. They had been brought low by this message from God. And this message appeared to address the whole man. And you know, is that not true of the gospel? Of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't just address one aspect of man. The gospel addresses man in his mind, in his reasoning, in his heart. It addresses the soul. It addresses even his outward bearing. And these men were brought low, not because of what the message it said, not even because of the message it brought, because they couldn't even understand the message. That's what troubled them. Perhaps you are today sitting under the sound of the gospel. And it may not even be the very message of the gospel that will trouble you. What may trouble you is the fact that you don't even understand the gospel or the way of salvation. You don't even understand what is said to you in the scripture. They wanted someone that would just come and explain the dream to them. How privileged we are in our own day that the gospel is preached from many pulpits still in our land and in our own day. And that the Lord has not forsaken his cause, and that he has promised that he will bless his word by his Spirit, the one who is indeed the true teacher, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you are saying that you are yet a stranger to grace, you've heard maybe the gospel many times, but yet you still do not understand nor comprehend the way of salvation as it is set before you in the Lord Jesus Christ, then pray that the Lord, by his word, by his Spirit, will bless it to your soul. The second thing about the dream was not just how applicable it was, but how revealing this dream was. It was a revelation of things that were yet to come to pass. A revelation of things that only God himself could reveal. A revelation of things that only God could tell these men. Even Joseph couldn't do that except it be of God. And is that not true also of the gospel? The message that God brings us today, does it not also tell you of things that are yet to come to pass? Does it not tell you of those things that only God himself could reveal? Telling us that there are two types even in this world. There are those who will be saved and those who will be lost. Telling us of one that will be raised up and another that will be cast down. To one a savior, the gospel a savior of life unto life, and the other a savior of death unto death. Is it not telling us of those things that a sinner will be saved by grace, and that there is a savior who is able to save unto the uttermost? Revealing things that the mind of these, the butler and the baker, could never comprehend unless it was revealed to them. But it's not just that it was applicable and that it was revealing, but here was a message that was most appropriate. That was most appropriate. You might say of the gospel today that it doesn't apply to you. But look at the message that was given to the butler and to the baker. How appropriate the message was. One, it was speaking of the fruit of the vine to the butler. The other, it was speaking of the loaves and bread to the baker. How appropriate it was to both these men. There was a message that was most applicable to them. And you know, it's true of the gospel message. The gospel comes and it finds you as a sinner needing to be saved. And no matter what situation you might be in today as a sinner, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is most applicable and appropriate for you. Indeed, it is the only gospel that is appropriate and applicable to you. And let us see these two men. They are men that are in prison. Later on, we are going to see how Pharaoh also receives a dream. Pharaoh that is in that is high and lifted up, but here are men that are low and in prison, and God addresses a dream to them. It doesn't matter whether you're high and mighty or whether you're low or poor, whoever you are. Here is the gospel. Here is the message of God. And the message that was addressed to the butler was about the wine and the cup in Pharaoh's hand. The message that was addressed to the baker was about the bread and the loaves. How appropriate it was. But also, how comforting, even to Joseph. What an encouragement to Joseph in the very midst of the prison. This wasn't a dream that was going to, these dreams weren't going to be fulfilled in 30 years' time. Here was a dream that would be fulfilled in 3 days' time. And what an encouragement to Joseph as the Lord speaks and as the Lord reveals through him what is going to come to pass. And he sees it actually coming to pass. Is it not an encouragement to the Lord's people today to see all the promises that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to his church coming to pass? You know, you even go through the last century and you see the persecution and the blood of the Jews being spilt even today. You hear of the Jews being persecuted. You hear of the Jews being, their blood being spilt. And you go back to the cross and you see the words of the cross, "Thy blood be upon us. Thy blood be upon us." And today you see that still being fulfilled in the providence of God. He will have a church, he will have his people, even unto the ends of the earth, a remnant, and you still see it being fulfilled. You see the prophecy that there will be wars and rumors of wars. You will see men waxing worse and worse. And you see it all today. You shouldn't be surprised when you see our land and our nation departing from the truth. When you see days coming upon us when men will do that which is unnatural. The Bible tells us. What an encouragement to Joseph in the midst of a prison to see the promises and the fulfilling of God's word. That's the dreams. They were applicable. They were revealing. And they were most appropriate. And they were encouraging to Joseph. But let us then look secondly at the interpretation of the dream. We live in a day when you will see in many quarters the claim to having apostolic gifts. You will see those who will say, look at my gifts. There's a great movement in our own day towards the charismatic movement, claiming various gifts. But let us look once again at what Joseph and the interpretation that he gives. First of all, let us see how honest Joseph is. He says to the butler, here is the interpretation of thy dream. And he tells him how he will be lifted up and he will once again place the cup of wine into Pharaoh's hands. And typical of fallen human nature, the baker soon follows on. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he didn't question whether the interpretation was right, whether it was righteous. He just said, once he saw it was good. And is that what men strive for today? They want to hear sermons that are sweet talking. They want to hear things that are simply good. Not necessarily whether it is true. Not necessarily whether it is right. As long as it is good. You only need to go to funerals in our own day, and you can hear that manifested. As long as it is nice words and it is good, it doesn't matter. But look at Joseph. When he came to the baker, he had a message that was honest and that was true. He says to him, in 3 days that thy head will be lifted up. You will be placed in the gallows and you'll be put to death. We today should rejoice if there are ministers of the gospel who will tell people the truth, who will bring people and confront people with what is right, rather than that which is simply good. We live in a day when people just want to hear news that is good. Let us hear what the Lord will say to us. Here is the best news, the gospel, the good news, that Christ Jesus has come into this world to save sinners. Of whom, says the apostle, I am the chief. How honest he was when he interpreted the dream, but how gracious he was. Did you notice here as Joseph interprets the dream, these dreams, he says to the butler, he says, you will be restored unto thy place. Thou wilt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hands. But when you get there, remember me. For I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. How easy it would have been for Joseph to have stood up and said, my brethren, they're the ones that are at fault here. And Pharaoh's wife, and Potiphar's wife, how evil she is. He doesn't. There is no word of his brethren. And there is no word of Potiphar's wife. He doesn't expose their sin. He defends his own integrity. He defends his own integrity. Christ Jesus came into this world. And he came into this world not to condemn the world, because the world is already condemned. The world is already condemned. But that he came into this world that through him sinners might be saved. how gracious the Lord is towards his own people. That when he has Peter before him, how he could revile and rebuke Peter for his curses and his oaths. But he doesn't. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" But let us also see, thirdly, how Joseph here uses means. He says to the butler here, "When you are lifted up into the high place, remember me." He didn't need to trust in the butler. Joseph didn't need to trust in the butler. Joseph had the promise of the Lord that one day he would be lifted up and he would be raised up into a high place, and his own brethren would come and bow the knee before him. He had the word of the Lord. But here he says to the butler, "When you come to your own, when you come and once again are raised up, you remember me. Think on me when it shall be well with thee." Joseph wasn't beyond using means. And how we ought to today use the means that God has given to us. We can expect no blessing except we use the means that God has given to us. His word, prayer, the preaching of the word, the gathering together of ourselves together. These are all means that God has used to an end. And Joseph wasn't beyond using means. But finally, we've seen the dream, we've seen the interpretation of the dream, how honest it was. But finally, the forgotten dream. We are told that the chief butler remembered not Joseph. He forgot him. How ungrateful. But let us note, first of all, this was not God's time for Joseph to be released. Joseph had yet another 2 years to remain in prison. God had a purpose for Joseph even remaining in the prison 2 years. It wasn't God's time. It may have been the time that Joseph himself said to the butler, "Remember me when you are lifted up once again." But this wasn't God's time. We must always wait upon God's time. But there's something else. Well, you see something of this in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they tell him that Lazarus is ill, he waits yet 4 days. There's a purpose. It wasn't Mary and Martha's time. If you had been here earlier, if only you had arrived earlier, but it wasn't Christ's time. He waited 4 days before he went down. But there's something else we learn from this. Not to put our trust in the arm of flesh. Nor to put our hope in man. We often think, you know, that the church needs to have influence in high places. It needs to have influence among the higher echelons of society. The church needs to have its influence in the Scottish Parliament. It needs to have influence in the Parliament down in London. And we're told continually, even as we're reminded here, don't put your trust in the arm of flesh. A denomination goes to court seeking to fulfill its obligations within a trust regarding buildings. Do we put our trust in men? Well, we may be thankful that the Lord would give us men of integrity, men of ability, but let us never put our trust in the arm of flesh. Joseph asked the butler, and the butler let him down. Let us never be seeking. But let us, on the contrary, look at Christ. We have here before us two men, and they remind me of the two that were with Christ on the cross, one either side. Two thieves either side, and one thief to be raised up into glory. And he turns and says to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Did the Lord Jesus forget the thief on the cross? The butler may forget Joseph for 2 years, but the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't forget the thief on the cross for 2 seconds. He remembers him always. He remembers this day, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise, he says. Psalm 94 that we've read together, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. The Lord knows what you're like and he knows what I'm like, because he knows that we are liable to forget him. And that's why he gives us the Lord's Supper, tangible tokens of his broken body and his shed blood. And he then says, remember me, because you are all too ready to forget me. But remember my death until I come again. But he never forgets his own people. It's like the butler. He forgot the mercy and the kindness and the goodness of Joseph to him. He forgot Joseph and the mercy that he received. Do we perhaps forget the goodness of God to every one of us? His long suffering and his mercy. Those who go into a lost eternity, they go into a lost eternity because they rebelled against the very goodness of God to them. Do we forget God's long suffering and his goodness? Perhaps we're here today, and we're the Lord's people. Do we forget to be thankful for all that the Lord has done for us? Remember the 10 lepers who left the Lord Jesus Christ and only one came back. And the Lord says to him, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? And remember what the prophet says. The prophet Amos says, very possibly referring back to this time, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. In verse 5, that chant to the sound of the violin, invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. The butler was able to drink wine and bowls and anoint himself with chief ointments. But he forgot Joseph. He forgot Joseph. Perhaps today we forget. We all too readily forget the mercy of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything we're taught of this, it is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing short of that. To value the means that God has given to us, and to remember the mercies and the goodness of God, that we would not forget Joseph, nor the affliction of Joseph, that we would not be like the butler, going on our way and not being thankful for all that Joseph did for him. May it be today that each one of us would remember Joseph, our Joseph, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would have thankful hearts, that we would come to him who had no comfort when he went to Calvary, when he had no tokens of the Father's comfort, when he went down into the pit. Do you today remember Joseph?